So name one item in your closet that you'd rather trade a kidney for than give up.
So I have my first pair of designer shoes that my husband bought for me. This was back when we were still dating, actually. I think it was, we've been dating for maybe 3 years, and it was my first pair. Like, I love shoes, as anybody will tell you. And so at the time, like, you know, it was my first pair of designer shoes, and yeah, he just bought my first pair of Louboutins for me, and it's just a pair that is really sentimental to me and that I absolutely love.
That's sweet, yeah. So who's your favorite designer?
I have so many. Probably Marissa Webb. I just really like her designs. I feel like they're fresh, they're different, you know, and then they're also petite friendly, and I just feel like she has a really good eye for design and style.
Which trend needs to die and never come back?
Oh my gosh, I cannot do the socks with sandals look. I know a lot of people can pull it off, but I don't know. I can't do it personally, and I don't know, I always have to do a second look, and yeah, I can't get used to it.
Yeah, I'm not sure I've seen anyone pull it off, actually.
Yeah.
If you could lose yourself shopping in any city, which one would you choose?
Hong Kong. I went to Hong Kong, I guess maybe 10 years ago, and it was like a heaven for me. I, being petite, being 5 feet tall, I often have trouble finding things that fit just right off the rack. But, you know, in Hong Kong, it was like everything fit. And so that was great. And then also, I feel like their style is just really fashion forward. And just even, you know, people watching, it's, yeah, I get so much inspiration from, you know, just everyday people. And then I just love shopping where I know that everything I find basically is in my size.
What's your favorite brick and mortar store?
Oh, Nordstrom. I love Nordstrom. Probably from 5 years ago when I really started shopping there. I mean, in the beginning, I thought, you know, everything would be too expensive. But then I figured out, you know, what departments to shop, what brands fit me. And I love their styles. I love their amazing customer service. And then also just their return policy.
They do have the best return policy.
Yes. Yeah.
And you can get everything you need at Nordstrom, right? One-stop shopping.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I shop for myself, my husband, my kids.
Makeup.
You know, clothes to things for the house. It's everything. Yeah. And my kids love it too because they they go to the kids' shoes department and then there they get free balloons. And so they're always excited to go to Nordstrom.
Oh, that's so funny. Love that too. We can't get out of Nordstrom without going by to get a balloon.
Yes.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, Tedra.
So today we are talking to Kyleen. She is the author and blogger of cuteandlittle.com. She started her blog actually way back in 2010, and in some circles that would qualify her as an OG.
Wow, impressive.
Yeah.
So Kyleen married her college best friend, which is adorable, and stays not only very busy raising her two little ones, but she has a full-time job as a software developer.
I know. I was kind of fascinated to learn that about her. But she's 5 feet tall. She specializes in petite fashion world. She has quite the faithful following.
I know, Tedra. I think our guests will be so impressed with her incredible work ethic and how much time she puts not only into her blog, but also her career and family.
For years, we've all been following some of the most inspiring bloggers and social media influencers. Simply put, we get inspired. The next best thing to following our favorite influencers is hearing their stories straight from them. So listen in as we get to know Kyleen.
Okay, so Kyleen, before we get into fashion, I want to know where you're from, where you live now, and anything, your kids, your husband, anything personal you'd like to share.
Okay. So I was born in Dallas, lived there until I was 2 years old. And then my parents and we all moved to Austin. I'm actually an only child. So we moved to Austin and that's where I stayed up through graduating high school. And then I went to college at Rice University in Houston. And I was there for 4.5 years. I got 2 undergraduate degrees in computer science and electrical engineering. And then I stayed for my master's also in electrical engineering. When I graduated, I moved back to Austin, where I worked as an applications engineer at National Instruments in their engineering leadership program. And then I was there for 4.5 years. My husband and I, we started dating right after I graduated college, actually. He was still working on his master's at Rice. We met at Rice University together. We actually lived at the same dorm. So we did kind of a long-distance relationship from, you know, Austin to Houston for a year and a half. And then once he graduated, he found a job in Dallas. He had been working for Texas Instruments already as a senior in college and then also during his master's program. And so he decided to continue working for Texas Instruments. And then we did a long distance relationship for another 3 years, at which point it was kind of like, well, we need to figure out something. Something has to change. And so we both looked for jobs in each other's city. And I happened to find mine first. And so I then moved to Dallas, where I moved from the software industry and into the financial services industry. And so I started working in a hedge fund, still doing software development, but just changing, you know, changing industries. And so I worked at a hedge fund for 5.5 years. And then, you know, I ended up having my first baby, my son, and then I just couldn't keep up with the hours that the hedge fund required, because it's kind of expected that you work, you know, 10 to 12 hours every day, sometimes weekends too, weekends and nights. And so I wanted a job that provided some more work-life balance. So I decided, you know, I wanted to leave that job and take a little break. And so when I left that job, 2 weeks later, we were kind of surprised. I found out I was pregnant with my daughter. And so at the time I was like, well, being 3 months pregnant at this point, I didn't want to start another new job and then, you know, go on maternity leave and who knows how things would change. And so I decided to spend, you know, just my pregnancy at home with my son and then just work on my blog full time. And once my daughter came, I spent the first year with her since this was going to be our last baby. And yeah, then after that, I decided that I really missed having coworkers and going into like an office and, you know, coding basically. So I searched for a job again and found myself at a online banking platform company where I do software development. So that's wow. Where I'm at. That's where I'm at now. And I've blogged. Yeah, the blog I started when I was at the hedge fund, actually, when I first moved to Dallas. I didn't know really anybody besides my husband and some of his friends. And being a female in kind of a male-oriented, male-dominated industry, you know, I didn't have anybody where I could really share my interest in fashion and beauty and all of that. And so that's when I discovered there was an online community of bloggers who, you know, shared their outfits and things that I really enjoyed outside of coding. And right. So that's when I just started my blog.
So what year was that?
That was in 2010, October of 2010. I had moved to Dallas in February of that same year. And so, yeah, I started my blog, kind of just accidentally stumbled upon blogs and I was just searching for a review, I think, of something I wanted to buy online. And I just realized that there was this whole petite fashion blogging community of people just sharing, you know, things that were petite friendly. And I was like, this is perfect. And so I was just inspired by that community and some of the bloggers that I found to start my own blog.
That's crazy. That transition seems from coming from a tech industry into a fashion blogging industry and the way that you found it is so interesting.
Yeah, completely accidental. I think, yeah, it really was just searching for a review of something I was about to buy online. And I don't even know for certain if it was even fashion related. I think it may have even been beauty or makeup related. And somebody had reviewed something and so I found their blog and it was like a rabbit hole. So I just spent hours, you know, reading blogs and I was like, oh my gosh. And back then, blogging was totally different. It was much more. Yeah, it was much more casual and people were just doing, you know, selfies or, you know, their husbands were taking pictures of them like in their front yard or backyard. And it was more just, you know, people sharing because it was just fun and less like professional.
Right.
And it was a smaller community too. And so that's how I started.
Have you always done the petite side of it?
Yes. I mean, I feel like that's just for me how, you know, how I started and where my audience, I guess, originated from. And, you know, it's just something that's always on my mind whenever I'm shopping. It's just, you know, oh, if I like something, how does it fit? Do I need to get this altered? Or, you know, it's just things that I'm looking at, too, whenever I'm deciding whether or not it's something I want to buy.
Right.
It also determines just where I shop, because some places are more petite friendly. You know, they offer a petite sizing selection, whereas others, it may be the same size, but it doesn't fit. Like the proportions are a little off.
Right. So just hearing what you've said so far, how do you handle all of this? You have kids, you have a full-time job, and you have what is seemingly a full-time position blogging. I mean, most people, that's one job and that's their full-time job and that's it.
Yes. So it's definitely, I mean, it gets harder now that I have more on my plate. At the time when I first started it, it wasn't that bad. It was just, you know, I would work, you know, my normal hours at my full-time job. And this was just something that I would spend, you know, maybe an hour to 2 hours doing after work.
Per day.
Per day. Yeah. And I would do it daily. actually go and set up my camera on a tripod and, you know, have a remote and just take a picture in front of my apartment.
And your website, let me just add, your website is not just fashion. You have beauty, you have food, you have kids. I mean, it's...
Yes, it's expanded for sure. In the beginning, it was almost all fashion. But just over the course of time, people have, you know, wanted to see different parts of my life. And, you know, people evolve as they get older too, and they develop more interests. And it just kind of naturally progressed into, you know, just sharing everything about my life, everything I'm loving and am thinking about, I'm interested in.
So just a natural evolution.
Yes. Yes.
So how many hours do you think your blog takes daily?
Oh goodness. It's definitely a full-time job in itself. So I work a good 40 hours a week, and then my blog, I spend every night probably 3 to 4 hours every night working on as well. And then I also spend the large majority of my weekends taking pictures and working on drafts of, you know, campaigns that I'm working on and posts that are coming up. I'd say I probably spend another 20 to 30 hours on my blog as well.
Wow. I'm so impressed.
Yeah. I mean, I at this point now it's, you know, I do it because I love it. It is tiring. It is time consuming. But, you know, I love the community that has kind of grown over time and the people I've met and the opportunities that I've been given. So it's just, so I did take a break actually from the blog, from blogging in general. This was when I was pregnant with my son from about 13 weeks when I discovered I had a high risk pregnancy because I had bleeding in my uterus. And so they had me on bed rest and it was kind of a emotional time for me. And so, you know, I decided that I didn't want to be, you know, worried about blogging. And so I basically just stopped for a good year and a half. And even all during that time, like towards the end, I was like, oh, this, you know, as I adjusted to motherhood, there were so many things. Like I kept on reading blogs and I kept on thinking, oh, this is so useful. I wish I could share something, you know, that I learned, you know, in becoming a mother for the first time, like, you know, sleep training or, you know, what I was feeding my son or just different things that I was, you know, just learning, breastfeeding, you know, all of this. Yeah. So I always thought about, oh, you know, blogging is changing so much, but, you know, I still have so much that I want to share with people. And so I just decided I wanted
right,
to get back
to it. Right. And how to get all these different topics and put them all on the same page for people to find is really just a genius and such an amazing thing for working moms.
Yes. I mean, for me, becoming a mother was such a huge change for me. I mean, not just from a lifestyle, but just things that, you know, nobody really prepares you for because there's no manual. Every child is different and you're just kind of learning along the way and, you know, sometimes just winging it and, you know, getting advice from other parents just as far as what works. Even now today, you know, I'm still, you know, looking to other bloggers to see what they recommend and, you know, other friends and...
Right. We can never have too much advice, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Because you never know what works.
It's
always changing.
Okay. So let's talk quickly about your Instagram. You have 84,000 plus followers, which is huge.
Thank you.
Tell us what goes into each post or what do you think the success to your Instagram is?
Oh, so Instagram it's a constant struggle. When I first started, I mean, this Instagram was totally different. The algorithm, you know, it was chronological and it was really easy to grow back then. I started off just sharing, you know, basically what I had on my blog. And so I was posting once a day, but then once I left my job and I, you know, switched to basically blogging full time and taking care of my daughter and being pregnant, I decided to, you know, start posting 2 to 3 times. And that's when I really noticed more engagement, more followers. And so I realized that that was something that worked better for me. And so, yeah, once I started doing that, then I really started noticing higher growth. And so from that to, you know, I think I grew up to 10,000 followers in about a year. And then once I kind of realized that, you know, people prefer kind of a mix of, you know, the professional pictures, but then also just some more everyday shots, you know, maybe selfies, like, you know, standing in front of a mirror or just holding the phone above my head and sharing, you know, just like an everyday outfit that maybe to some people is more relatable. Like that's kind of what people want to see. And so for me, that's just what I try and keep on doing. It's just the mix of, you know, professional pictures, but then also just an everyday, you know, selfie type picture that's kind of more real life and, you know, relatable for people. And so for me, that really works. And then just also, now that the algorithm's changing, I found that in order to really keep my engagement up and get, you know, get people to see my post, I try and basically allot at least 30 minutes to an hour before I post every time. And so for the first 15 to 20 minutes before I post, I'll go and, you know, spend time commenting on other people. And then I'll post my picture and then spend another 15 to 20 minutes commenting on more people's pictures. And I feel like that is really what
a great tip.
Yeah, because I've heard that Instagram can tell when you're active and that they, you know, encourage you to be active when you're posting. And so to engage with other people, you know, before and after you post, I found that that's what works for me.
Well, it obviously is working.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I try and do a combination of both, you know, people that I follow just in my current feed and then just discovering some new people too through hashtags or other, you know, other people that I see commenting on other, you know, people's posts. So yeah, just trying to keep the followers that I currently have and then also hoping to expand my reach a little bit by commenting on new people.
Do you feel like you put the same amount of effort or more into Instagram versus your blog, or are they kind of equal as far as timing and effort?
Yeah, as far as effort, it's probably about the same. Although the blog, I set aside a block of time at night for me to work on it, whereas Instagram, I have to spread out my time throughout the day. So I usually allot an hour in the morning and then another hour in the evening just commenting. And
do you sleep?
I do, not as much as I should. I probably sleep 4 to 5 hours usually, and then I'll make up for it.
Oh my gosh.
I'll usually post 3 to 4 times a week, and then there will be one night where I just make up for it and I sleep like 10 hours.
Wow. Do you ever foresee taking your blog and your Instagram full time? I mean, I know it's full time for you now, but quitting your quote unquote day job?
I've thought about it just because at this point now I feel like I could, and I know more about the industry. So it would be different if I did it. I feel like the first time when I did it, it felt almost isolating because I didn't have enough, I guess, like local blogger friends to collaborate with and, you know, feel like I felt like I was kind of working alone and I didn't have coworkers or friends. Whereas now I have kind of a tighter circle of people that I, you know, talk to and text and, you know, FaceTime all the time. So it's less kind of lonely of a job if I did decide to go full time. And financially, I think it, you know, it would work as well. But the part that scares me is just, you know, you're relying on yourself completely, you know, if you took it full time. And so there's no such thing as, you know, just a vacation or, you know, a sick day. You know, if you don't work, you don't get paid, right? And so it's, I feel like it's more pressure. And yeah, I don't know if I want to have all that pressure on myself. Yeah. So I kind of like, I like the fact that I can be more, you know, casual about my blog and not always, you know, worry about, oh, am I doing enough collaborations this month to be able to, you know, make enough money? Or, you know, do I have to take on certain collaborations if they don't necessarily fit my style and interests? You know, I feel like now that I am doing it as a, you know, kind of a side job, I can be more selective in what I choose to take on. So I like that. I feel like it lets me stay truer to myself.
Right. So for our listeners who are listening to you and hear how you started and how big you've become, what piece of advice, if you had one piece of advice to give to our listeners who's just starting a blog, what would you say has been the biggest lesson for you?
Oh, several. I would say the biggest thing is just stay true to yourself. In the blogging industry, I mean, it's a very saturated industry. And so it can be very easy to be, you know, pressured to do what other people are doing, even if it may not, you know, fit who you are or why maybe you started your blog. But I would say that that's the most important thing. And, you know, to not lose sight of who you are and what your purpose is, you know, for why you started and why what you're sharing, even if, you know, it's a very small niche and, you know, you may not have as many followers as, you know, some of the other bigger bloggers. I feel like, you know, just being true to who you are, you know, you never know where that may end up. And I feel like ultimately that's what people go to you for, is your voice and your style. And yeah.
Right. Do you feel like there's room for everybody in this space? Like you talked about earlier about finding, you know, your community within the blogging world. Is it a nice community or is it competitive?
I feel like it can be both ways. There are definitely bloggers out there who are absolutely the sweetest people. And if you just find those people, then you can develop a community of really supportive, you know, bloggers who, you know, always have your best interest and look out for you and who I think become your best friends. I mean, some of my closest friends I've found through blogging, and it's just you have this common interest to begin with, and then you relate so much because you are both bloggers. And yeah, it's, you know, for the people who are really there for you, like they understand where you're coming from and they want you to succeed just as much as they want themselves to succeed. And so right. I feel like if you find the right group of people, it can definitely be you know, a very collaborative environment where there's room for everybody. And that's how I ultimately feel, is that, you know, we're all in this together. It's not me against you. I feel like, you know, everybody has their own opinions and their own voice to share. And, you know, people can relate to different things about different people. Yeah, ultimately, we're all in this together.
I love that. Okay, so let's go for a lighter question. You're off duty, which I don't know if you ever are. What are you wearing?
Usually some form of athleisure wear. Yeah, on the weekends especially, I love, you know, just living in, you know, tights and, you know, a workout shirt, workout jacket. Usually, you know, I'll do my workout in the morning and I just, you know, kind of wipe myself off and wear some variation of it throughout the day. It's just comfortable and easy, lets me keep up with the kids. If I'm not in, you know, like athleisure wear, it's usually just, you know, jeans and kind of like an oversized t-shirt, oversized sweater, that type of thing.
Nice. So you take selfies a lot, but you also have pictures that obviously you don't take. Who takes those?
So I actually do almost all of my pictures. I have a tripod and remote that I use for almost all of my photo shoots, including those of my kids. I've kind of taught them how to work the camera. My husband is pretty busy. He works full time. He travels a lot as well. He's actually going to Japan tomorrow. And so, yeah, most of the time during the week, he leaves at before 7 a.m. and gets home pretty late. And so that's why I've just always relied on using a tripod and remote with my camera. There are certain times when, you know, if my husband is at home, then he'll help me out. And yeah, he's a great photographer and he has a great eye. And then I also have a photographer that I work with here in Dallas for whenever we're doing like our family photo shoots. And her name is Mina Jeans Photography. And she does probably 3 to 4 photo shoots for us throughout the year. Yeah, the kids love her too. And so it just makes the whole process really easy.
Oh, that's so important, isn't it? That could mean everything.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And, you know, so we actually all went to Rice together. They were a few years younger than me, but her husband, we worked together on the same team when I worked at the hedge fund. And after realizing that she was a photographer, I had her, you know, take some photographs for us when I was first starting my blog, and they were just so good. And so that's how we met and how she's been helping me out ever since with pictures.
Oh, that's nice. Okay, so what is something you never see going out of style?
I would say a pencil skirt. I think the pencil skirt is just such a classic feminine look that is also very professional and can be, you know, I feel like it just makes somebody feel good and confident whenever they're wearing, you know, a pencil skirt.
I agree on all body types too, really.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I mean, I feel like, you know, if you're petite, you're tall, you're skinny, you're curvy, I feel like it really accentuates your body and makes you feel good and look good when you find one that fits.
Yeah. Okay, so hair or makeup, which one would you never leave home without if you had to choose one?
Makeup. So I do, yeah, I'm not that good with hair. Hair, I kind of do the same thing. I usually just curl it or I will put it up in a bun, and that's kind of my two options. I'm not that handy with hair. But makeup, I feel like I can, you know, get a little bit more into. I used to watch YouTube makeup videos.
Don't you have tutorials on your website for makeup?
I do. I love makeup and I feel like I'm better at makeup and it's easier for me to learn. And so that's why I would probably choose makeup. I have kind of a huge makeup collection, like embarrassing large makeup collection for somebody who doesn't really do makeup professionally.
Right. Well, your makeup looks great. And I also saw on your website that, tell me about those blue things that you sleep in.
Oh, yeah. So those are a lifesaver. I actually use those all the time. It basically, so whenever I shower, or even if I don't shower, I can just kind of mist my hair and get it a little bit wet. And I just put in these, they're kind of like just memory foam rollers.
What are they called?
They're called the Sleep Styler. I actually keep them by my desk for whenever I'm working at night on the blog, because that's when I style my hair. I import my pictures and then I just kind of do my hair. But it's a multitasking, right? So the Sleep Styler, I have it in two sizes, the mini and the large. And basically it's just, you know, you get your hair a little bit wet and then you put these rollers in your hair and they're super soft. They're made of this memory foam. And basically I just sleep with my hair in these rollers and the next morning I can just, you know, take it out and my hair is basically done. I usually will maybe put a little bit of dry shampoo and fluff it a little bit, but that's basically it. And it's such a huge time saver.
Okay. I'm going out to get myself a pair of those pronto.
So I actually saw them at Walmart last week and I was really surprised because I thought they were like this, you know, sold on you know, internet thing only. But they were at my Walmart last week. So
okay, that's good to know.
Yes, $30. I highly, highly recommend. It took me 2-3 times to figure out how to do it. But yeah, once I figured out, it's a life changer. Absolutely love it.
Okay, so it seemed like a good idea at the time. Finish the sentence. But what is your biggest oops item?
Oh, for something that I bought.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, so I have a fur jacket that I bought that I really love, but I feel like it's a little bit hard to style, and I feel like it may also be a little bit big on me. So, yeah, I don't know. I haven't actually, I've worn it once, but I've since thought maybe, well, I might look like a bear in this. It's a little hurting.
Yeah. Do you have a rule? If you don't wear something for a certain amount of time, you get it out of your closet?
Yes. And for me, that's actually usually about a year and a half.
That fur might be in that.
Yeah, it might be. I try and kind of purge my clothes semi-regularly. Like I actually just spent all of January kind of purging my closet. But I usually will take it out of my closet and then put it into like a secondary closet, where that secondary closet, if I, you know, really decide that I don't want, like if I actually never go back to it and pick it out again, then I know that I'm okay parting with it.
That's a good idea, like a purgatory almost.
Yeah, other times I've gotten rid of something only to think, oh, a month later, I really feel like, you know, that I really wish I still had that, you know, coat or something. But yeah, but it's already been sold or donated. So usually I'll just kind of let it sit in like a secondary, you know, purgatory closet for probably a few months before I finally decide. Yeah.
And if you don't go get it back out, you know, you can give it
yes.
away.
Yeah.
Okay. Tedra?
Yes, I have a few follow-up questions just listening to your conversation. One thing I was interested in knowing is, do your colleagues, like at work, when you're in your computer environment, do they know about your side hustle, I guess, being a blogger?
Yes. Okay, so for the longest time, so my current coworkers, yes, they know. But when I first started, I didn't really tell anybody. When I first started, it was almost like, you know, blogging wasn't very big back then. And so I felt like I was constantly, I felt like I was embarrassed by what I did, and that it would just take too much work to explain the fact that I took pictures of myself and people were interested in what I wore, and it just seemed a little bit self-absorbed and weird.
Well, it's so different than the computer world too. So it's sort of like you're coding over here and those are your colleagues, and then you have this completely separate but totally creative outlet on the side. So
yeah, so my colleagues now, they know about it, and even if they don't need it, they've sent it over to their wives. And I get feedback from their wives and their friends about, you know, different posts that I have on the blog.
So one thing you talked about was your online community and how you've made some close relationships. I'm just curious, like, how does that start? Like, how do you actually meet these people? Like, I mean, is it just someone sends you a DM, or like, how do you get the community going?
Yeah. So some of my friends, it's just, you know, I comment regularly on their Instagram posts, and then, you know, we'll start DMing, and then we'll be like, oh, do you want to do something together? Do you want to collaborate on something? Oh, you know, what's your phone number? Can I just text you? Can I email you? And then that kind of just switches it from, you know, purely an Instagram relationship to something where you're just texting and emailing all the time together.
So it just sort of happens naturally, I guess, organically.
Yes. So that happened on, you know, for a couple people. And then others I've actually met, you know, at different blog events, and just, you know, seeing them on multiple occasions, you start chatting, and then, you know, you just start getting to be really good friends. I'm actually meeting with a blogger friend tonight for dinner. She used to live in Dallas, but she recently moved to LA, and she's back this weekend. And so we're meeting up for dinner and just catching up again. And yeah, for her, we just met at multiple events, and she's just such a good friend. And she's been my plus one to several blog events too.
So when you say blog events, like what are those?
Usually like a brand will be, you know, hosting events, whether it's, you know, I think we went to an Urban Decay event together, you know, where they were launching a new palette that they had just released. And so, you know, we had both tested it out, and they had a big release party. And so we just, you know, met there, you know, as one of several bloggers that they had invited. Like, I know that a certain spa had invited, you know, I think 4 or 5 bloggers to come and enjoy their spa for a treatment. And so, you know, those are other people that I've met. And we just, you know, when it's a smaller group, it's easier to get to know everybody and really start chatting with people. And so for those, you know, I have some friendships that I've met through those events too.
Okay, so we're going to switch gears a little bit and just get into some fun Ask Everyone questions. What are a couple tips that you could give to the listeners?
I would say if you're a blogger, you should know your brand, know, you know, who you are, why you started, what you want to share as part of who you are. You know, try not to give in to pressures or I guess maybe what everybody else is doing. I feel like the blogging world can sometimes be kind of cliquish or maybe even, you know, reminiscent of things that happened in high school where it's just, you know, everybody starts wearing a certain trend, you know, and it's these are like the cool people. But I feel like if, you know, if you stay true to who you are and what your interests are and something is not something that you really love, then, you know, don't go with it. If you're somebody who prefers a more minimal style instead of, you know, always having, you know, all the accessories on that you're wearing, then, you know, stay true to that instead of following along with, you know, the latest trend.
If I called you at 9 a.m. on any given day, what are you most likely doing?
Probably on my computer. Yeah. I mean, either it's emails or blogs or, yeah, I'm almost always on the computer. Not that exciting.
What is something people would be surprised to know about you?
Actually, in high school, when I was in my junior and senior year, I was also a waitress at IHOP. And I feel like it's kind of different in that, you know, not many people may know that. But at the time in high school, I was really shy and quiet and very introverted. And I basically just wanted to change that. I wanted to be, you know, more social. I wanted to be more comfortable talking to people and, you know, just kind of work on that side of myself. And so one of my other friends had started, you know, being a waiter at a small restaurant. And he said, yeah, we're looking for people, you know, do you want to come? And I was like, that is so outside of my comfort zone. You know, maybe it might be actually good for me to, you know, just go out and talk to people and learn how to hold a conversation, you know, and approach people. And so I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. And so I decided to wait tables for 2 years.
So when you are ready to relax, you unplug, how do you decompress?
So I love yoga, and yoga is my way of just kind of zoning out and, you know, just tuning back into my body and, you know, how I'm feeling. I started yoga when I was working at the hedge fund and really stressed out, and it was the perfect way for me to unwind and get rid of all the stress from the day and just focus on me. Yeah, so that's what I do is I usually will switch over to yoga.
Who are three people you love to follow on Instagram?
So my favorite people are probably Jane Wang. She was the other petite blogger who inspired me to start my blog to begin with. And so I've always loved following her. Somebody else is Len Parent. And she is also an Asian petite blogger. And I just find her style to be very inspiring. It's kind of similar to mine where she kind of likes to try out, you know, new things and, you know, have very colorful outfits. And I just love how she puts everything together and makes it all work. And then somebody else is Allison Haley, and she's also petite, and I love how wearable her everyday styles are. They're just very classic and kind of have something a little bit different about them that just makes them really unique. And I just love following her for just inspiration.
What's a favorite app that you like to tap into?
Besides Instagram?
Yeah.
I'm on Instagram all the time.
Do you have a favorite app? Besides Instagram?
For me, it's probably Instagram or maybe even the Like to Know It app. You know, as somebody who just loves fashion, that's kind of what I look to, you know, just during my off time, if I'm just on my phone. Or even, you know, just reading blogs. I use Feedly, F-E-E-D-L-Y, Feedly, on my iPhone to just keep up with all the blogs that I enjoy.
Okay, what's your favorite beverage in the morning and at night?
The mornings, it used to be coffee, but this year, one of my resolutions was to kind of cut back on the caffeine. So I switched to green tea. And so in the morning, that's kind of my go-to drink at this point. I usually will take some green tea. It's actually, I get like it's a green tea that has milk infused in it. And so it's a little bit creamy, which I really love. It doesn't actually taste like milk, but it just has that kind of smoother consistency to it. And it's a little bit richer. And I'll usually add a scoop of collagen powder to that too. So that's what I have in the mornings. And then in the evenings, I usually will have some green juice. I started having that this year too. It's kind of been this health kick that I'm trying to get on. But it's this Evolution juice. It's the sweet greens with lemon that I really love. It's green, but it, you know, it's a little bit sweet, but not too sweet. And it's just really delicious and it has a lot of nutrients.
Do you have a favorite beauty product that you keep in your bag at all times?
Chapstick. My lips get really dry. So actually, I would say two. Chapstick and I have a facial mist. I have really dry skin, and in the wintertime, it's especially bad. And so I keep just some chapstick that I've used since middle school, honestly, that's always been either in my pocket or in my purse. And it's just, you know, the drugstore DCT, I think it's just by Blistex, like a daily conditioning treatment that I use. And then I also will have a hydrating facial mist from Pixi that I really love. And it's just a very light, you know, just hydrating mist that I like to spray on throughout the day. It just kind of refreshes me and keeps my skin, you know, feeling hydrated.
So we know you don't watch a lot of TV, but do you have a celebrity crush?
Yes, I love Emma Stone. I think she's just the cutest celebrity.
Great.
And I just love her personality. I feel like it's kind of quirky. She's funny. She's, you know, I feel like I can relate to her in many ways, and I just love watching her.
So I don't know if you cook much, but do you have a favorite meal that you'd like to make or eat out?
Yeah, so my favorite meal is ramen. And even though I've tried cooking it many times, I can't get it quite right. And so we will usually go out to have ramen probably once a week. And it's just something that, you know, the entire family loves.
Delicious. What's the best gift you've ever received?
It would probably be a gift from my husband for Valentine's Day a few years ago. It was completely unexpected. We actually, for Valentine's Day, we don't typically exchange gifts. Usually we'll just, you know, have like a dinner, not even on Valentine's Day, but, you know, on a weekend different from Valentine's Day. But from a few years ago, he surprised me with Kate Spade shoes and bag. And at the time, I didn't have anything Kate Spade. And it was always a brand that I really loved just because I love pink and bows and scalloped, you know, edges and everything that Kate Spade has. And so the fact that he got me two things without me even telling him that I loved it, it meant a lot to me.
Sweet. What about the best gift you've ever given?
For me, I prefer more personalized gifts. I'd given my husband this, it was like a photo book that had, you know, pictures of, you know, me and the kids and, you know, just all throughout the different parts of the year. And, you know, it's kind of how we had evolved as a family too. And I think he really loved that.
What's the last thing you've Googled?
Surprisingly enough, I was Googling carb cycling. I was looking into kind of this new diet thing. And so I was looking into what they were saying about carb cycling and what you should do.
I haven't even heard of that. What are they saying? What is that?
Oh my gosh. So the thing is that, you know, I guess what I had done before as part of my diet was, you know, just a simple calories in, calories out, where, you know, you just try and eat less calories and try and expend more calories. But they were saying that this actually hurts your metabolism, and over time your metabolism starts slowing down. And then to help boost your metabolism, what you want to do is actually boost your leptin hormone. And leptin is something that actually is fueled by carbs. And so the reason why you then want to do carb cycling is that on certain days you want to, you know, eat more carbs so that then your leptin is boosted and you'll actually boost your metabolism. And then when you cycle it, so on other days you have low carb days, then your body will go, you know, it'll still have that boosted metabolism, and then you'll be in more of a fat burning mode.
Oh, that's fascinating. I'm looking into that.
So yeah,
I've never heard of it.
That's what I heard. And I was Googling it to see, you know, what some sample meal plans and, you know, diet suggestions were if you wanted to do carb cycling.
So one last question. What is the greatest life advice you have ever received?
I would say happiness is a choice. For me, at different parts of my life, I've had issues with anxiety or depression. And so I figured out ways for me to recognize when I get into those periods and what I need to do to get myself out, but to also then realize that, you know, your life is a choice and how you feel about your life is a choice. And if you want to be happy, then you have to actually proactively go and seek it and make that come true for you. You know, it may not come naturally. And so, yeah, for me, happiness is a choice.
I like that. Okay, Julie, you want to take it from here?
Yes. Okay, Kylene, I have one follow-up question to that. The green tea infused with milk, that sounds so delicious.
Yes.
What is that? Where can I find that?
So I get mine at Central Market, and it's in their bulk department. But I bought it from Amazon before, too. Although it's not quite as good as the kind that I get from Central Market, but it just basically, I think they, when they dehydrate the leaves for the green tea, they maybe soak it in milk. And actually, oh, so now that I'm thinking about it, it's actually a oolong tea. It's a milk oolong tea.
Okay. I mean, that sounds so delicious.
It really is, yeah. And it's full of antioxidants. And for me, I've also found that it kind of curbs my hunger too. I don't know why, but it does. It curbs my hunger just a little bit.
Okay, I like that.
Yes. So it's a little nutty and very smooth and creamy. So yeah, if you just look up like milk oolong tea.
Okay, perfect. I'm going to do it. And I'm also going to look up the carb recycling.
Yes, the carb cycling.
Yes. Okay, before we wrap up, please tell everybody where they can find you online and on your social media.
Okay, so my blog is cuteandlittle.com. And then my social media is cute and then the letter N, little.
All right. Well, Kylene, we just want to thank you for being a guest on our show. We've loved talking from you and learning about your start and what makes your blog and your Instagram so successful. And we look forward to following you and getting to hear from you again.
Yes. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I love speaking with you guys as well.
Okay. Thank you. We'll talk soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
So Tedra, in addition to getting to know our guests, I also think our listeners would love to know just a little bit about us too. So why don't you tell us, it seemed like a good idea at the time, but what is your biggest oops item?
Oh, well, I have a whole section of oops items.
Are they black?
Probably. Tedra Cash. Actually, what my biggest oops items, this is embarrassing, but I tend to buy clothes that I think I'll be able to fit into a little bit later in life, maybe a size or two smaller than what I am. And so I buy them, and of course, they're probably a little trendy. And then what ends up happening is I don't actually fit in them during the time that they are on point. And by the time I get around to cleaning out my closet, they go in the trash or not, you know, the Goodwill bin or something. But
okay. Well, I'm just saying, I think we all have been guilty of that. So it's not too embarrassing.
It's definitely my oops item. I have quite a few of them. I once bought this dress. It probably was not only age inappropriate, but size inappropriate. And I just, like, I cleaned out my closet when I was moving and I thought, what was I thinking? You know?
Oh, so that's funny. I've never heard of size inappropriate. I've heard of age inappropriate, but that's a new one for me.
Well, if it doesn't fit, don't buy it.
Good advice.
So let's talk about you for a second. When you're off duty, what are you wearing?
Okay, well, this is so boring and it's kind of my daily outfit and I need to change it up a bit, I know, but it's always a pair of athletic pants. I love Outdoor Voices or Lululemon, but mainly my go-to right now is Outdoor Voices. I pair that usually with a denim shirt and my Golden Goose tennis shoes. And that goes, that's me every day, pretty much everywhere. And I hope to get a shower in there too.
I like it. I mean, listen, you're a mom with three kids, so you're doing your thing.
Yeah. Maybe I can add like a leather jacket at some point or something to spruce it up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for sharing some info about yourself.
Okay. We want to thank you for listening today, and if you'd like the show, we would love for you to head over to iTunes and give us a positive review. You can find us at wegettoknow.com, where you can sign up for our newsletter, and on social media at wegettoknow. Head over to Instagram. We'd love to hear from you and get your opinions on guests and show ideas. Our music is provided by the talented Blake Atwell of Studio 1916. Until next time, take care as we continue to get to know all of our favorite influencers and bloggers.